Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to the Bible Crossfire radio program. Last week, we were talking about how that it's not good enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to also follow his teachings. We talked about how it matters what we believe, Matthew 15:14. What we teach, Matthew 15:9. How we worship, Leviticus 10:1-2. Where we go to church, 2 John 9-11. How we live our life, James 2:10. Today I thought we would talk about the fact that it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to also follow his teachings with respect to the fact that obedience is necessary, required for salvation. Many will say, to be saved, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you do have to do that, but that's not all you have to do. A common idea, as I said, seems to be that as long as a person believes in Jesus, it doesn't really matter so much if they actually live in obedience to Jesus. Let me give you this quote that states that in an extreme way, but it states it. This is a Baptist preacher named Bill Foster writing in the Weekly Worker in 1959. He said, he's talking about himself as a believer, killed my wife and mother and debauched 1,000 women. I couldn't go to H-E-L-L. In fact, I couldn't go to H-E-L-L if I wanted to. See, simply because he says he's become a Christian. Once he's a Christian, that's the once saved, always saved doctrine. You can't fall from grace. He says, even if I killed my wife and mother and debauched 1,000 women, I couldn't go to the bad place. That's the once saved, always saved position. Gone to seed. It's the logical consequence of it. And it's what we're talking about here. The theory that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you don't have to follow his teaching, that's false. Here's a quote from the Methodist Creed book. Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine, very full of comfort. When they say justified by faith only, they're contrasting that with obedience. And it says clearly, according to the Methodist Creed book, we're justified by faith only. But did you know the Bible says in James 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It takes trust and obedience, as the song says, to be justified. The Methodist Creed book says justified by faith only. James 2:24 says it's not by faith only. Who are you going to believe? If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. How about this passage, which proves conclusively you have to obey God to be saved? Matthew 7:21. Jesus said here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who's going to heaven? Well, sure, you got to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. But this says if you want to go to heaven, to be with the Father in heaven, you'll have to do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Believing all by itself is not good enough. You have to do more than just believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. Hebrews 5:9, talking about Jesus, says he became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That's clear. You have to obey Jesus if you want to receive eternal salvation. And don't be thinking, oh, boy, if you had to obey Jesus, that would make you, you know, saving yourself. No, Hebrews 5:9, even though it teaches clearly, and I'll read it again in a minute, teaches clear you have to obey Jesus to receive eternal salvation. It still says Jesus is the source. It wouldn't matter how much you obey Jesus if he hadn't died for you. But both faith and obedience are conditions we have to meet in order to be saved by the death of Jesus. Here it is again, Hebrews 5:9. I didn't write it. Talking about Jesus, it says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Which you know what that means. I know what it means. It means if you're not obeying him, you will not be saved eternally. That's as clear as day. You can't get around it. You have to do more than just believe in Jesus. You have to also follow his teachings if you want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, then don't follow his teachings. Nobody's forcing you to. But if you want to be saved in heaven, you're going to have to not only believe in Jesus, you're going to have to follow his teachings. How about the first part of 1 Peter 1, verse 22? It says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth. Now, Acts 15, 9 says, we purify our hearts through faith. So no doubt you have to have faith in Jesus to be purified from your sins. But this verse, 1 Peter 1, 22, shows that to be, if you want to be purified from your sins, you have to obey the truth. It's obedience that's required, not just faith. Faith is required, but not faith alone. Remember, James 2, 24 said, you see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. And this verse says you got to obey. And it's not only that you have to obey the truth. Obeying false teaching is not good enough. You have to follow the teachings of Christ, not just any teachings. And of course, we know there's hundreds of different churches out there teaching different doctrines, different things. They can't all be teaching the truth. That's why it behooves us to be like the Bereans in Acts 17, verse 11. Search the scriptures daily to see if what we're being taught is so. Because there's only one truth, and that's the truth that will set you free from sin, John 8:2. How about Revelation 22:14? Jesus said there, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, the city there, of course, would be referring to, figuratively, the city of heaven. And it talks about the tree of life being there. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life. As long as they could partake of that, they could live physically forever. When we get to that city, heaven will have access to the tree of life. We'll be able to partake of that and live spiritually forever. But who has the right to go there? Well, according to Revelation 22:14, it says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to that tree of life, enter into the city. You have to do his commandments, which implies if you don't do his commandments, you don't have the right to go to heaven. You don't have that right. We mentioned the song, Trust and Obey. I like 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Of course, all of these passages we've been looking at show that you have to trust and obey if you want to go to heaven. But I especially like 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9 in regard to that hymn. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God's going to take flaming fire vengeance and deal out everlasting destruction on all those who do not know God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to verses 8 and 9, I didn't write that. That's God speaking here. So you got to not only know God, believe in him, understand him, you got to obey the gospel. A lot of people I talk to don't know how to, what obeying the gospel means. They, in the preaching they hear, that's never brought up. It's four or five times, I'm guessing, in the New Testament says you got to obey the gospel. What does obeying the gospel mean? It doesn't mean that all you got to do is believe in Jesus. It means you have to obey Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open right now. 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, if you'd like to turn there, is talking about the judgment day. A lot of passages talk about the judgment day. This is one of my favorites. It's only one verse that can we can get the point I want to get, though you'd do well to read the context. But 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment day. We're going to be judged based upon what we did in our body, whether it was good or bad. Of course, we're going to be judged based upon whether or not we believed in Jesus. John 3:16 and at least a dozen other passages teach that. But this verse says we're going to be judged based upon the things that we did in our body, meanwhile we were alive, whether it was good or bad. You see how all these passages are teaching that obedience is required? It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. You have to obey his teachings. A lot of people don't like that. That's why they come up with false theories like once saved, always saved, and things like that, and theories that you don't have to be baptized to be saved because they're turned off by obedience. They don't want obedience to be necessary to salvation, but it is. Because they want to live the way they want to live and still be considered saved. But that won't work that way. Jose from Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, brother. I read in the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, he ends up saying, and those who do not agree with me reigning over them, bring them before me and kill them. Why did Jesus say that?
Where does it say that in the book of Luke?
In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, I believe, where he speak about the talents.
What verse?
Oh, I don't have it with me right now, but in the teaching that he's giving, the one that had one talent gave another one, and the one that had five gave another five, and
okay. Well, if you're talking about Luke chapter 19, verse 27, and you probably are, it's an illustration that basically you know, you have illustrations in the Bible, like farming illustrations, the parable of the sower, and this is an illustration. Okay. So he's not saying under New Testament times that we ought to kill people who are not faithful Christians, who are not Christians. He's not saying that. Okay.
I would have to disagree with you because, he clearly says, whoever opposes me to reign over them, bring them before me and kill them.
That's a good question, and Jose. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I have asked this question to many, many pastors, and to be honest, they do not come up with a biblical answer. So
okay.
I know it's a difficult question, but
let me get on. Can I call you later? Can I call you later and let's talk about this after I do some research on this verse?
Yeah.
Because I think right now I'm not giving you an adequate answer, but I'll do some research and try to call you and give you an answer. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jose. Appreciate your call.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to write that down. I believe he was talking about Luke 19:27. We're going to look that up and see what it's talking about from the context later. Right now, we're talking about how that you have to obey Jesus to be saved. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, Lord doesn't necessarily mean God. Lord means boss. So Jesus is saying, for you to call me Lord, that means I'm your boss. I'm your master. You ought to be doing what I'm saying. And those people weren't. He said they're inconsistent. We have a lot of people like that today. They're inconsistent. They call Jesus Lord, but they don't obey him as the boss. Not only should we call Jesus Lord, we got to make him Lord of our life. We have to do the things that he says, according to Luke 6:46. In John 14:15, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." What does that say about somebody who doesn't keep Jesus' commandments? Well, it says their love for Jesus is not adequate. It's either non-existent or not good enough, because he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." A lot of people today talk about how you have to have a relationship with Jesus. A lot of times they're just talking about something touchy-feely. But this tells you, if you want to have a relationship with Jesus, if you want to be his friend, you have to do what he commands. You have to do what he commands. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to also follow his teachings. You have to obey his teachings. I'm turning over to the book of Galatians. Almost all of the book of Galatians, maybe that's an exaggeration, is about how answering this false doctrine that you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. We also read about that in Acts chapter 15. In Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So he's still talking about this fact that you don't have to be circumcised. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. That doesn't avail. But here's what does avail. Faith which worketh by love. If you have faith and that faith does not lead to you working, then that faith won't save you. Won't avail. And as a matter of fact, if you have a faith that works, but it's not motivated by love, that won't avail either. You have to have a faith which worketh by love. You know, we've been looking at some New Testament passages that prove you gotta believe and obey. Not just believe, but obey in order to be saved. You know, the same was true under the Old Testament law. They had a different law they had to obey, but they had to obey it if they wanted to be in a right relationship with God. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Don't you think about this for a minute. Fearing God and keeping his commandments was the duty of man even before Adam and Eve sinned, even before they needed salvation. We've been emphasizing you have to obey God, obey Jesus to be saved. But even before mankind needed saving, before Adam and Eve sinned, when they were first created, their duty was to fear God and keep his commandments. So keeping God's commandments, that requirement goes back further even than salvation does. Here's Daniel 9 verse 4. "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." First, let's talk about this word dreadful. When I was growing up, I was pretty scared of my dad. He spanked me when I needed it with a belt. It didn't hurt. If I had done something, you know, disobeyed him and I was afraid he was going to find out, I was scared of him. But as long as I was living in obedience to my dad, I wasn't scared of him. He never spanked me just because he had a bad day at work. And that's the same with God. As long as you're obeying him, you don't have to be scared of him. Healthy respect, but you don't have to be scared of him. But if you're not living in obedience to him, I didn't say just believing in him. You have to live in obedience to him. And if you're not, you should be scared of him because you're going to go to the bad place. That's what's going to happen to you after you die. Now this verse says, God keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. That means God's not going to keep covenant mercy to them that don't keep his commandments. Keeping his commandments is required. 1 Kings 9:4 is another Old Testament passage I like to bring up in this regard. It says, "And if thou wilt walk before me in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and judgments." All that God commands is what is expected. It's you know, it's kind of like our parents. If our parents give us 10 rules, they don't say, "Well, we know that you're not going to obey all of them, so just pick out 8 or 9 of them to keep, and the other one you can ignore." That's not what they do. They expect you to keep all of them. If you don't keep all of them, you get in trouble. You got to change. God, it's made clear by 1 Kings 9:4 that he expected the Israelites to do all that he commanded. All of them. I'm not saying that any one of them, except Jesus, he did. Not any one of them did them all, lived perfectly their whole life, but that's what was expected of them. And when they failed, they realized they didn't meet their goal. They failed. They needed to repent and be forgiven. Same for us. We need to keep all of Jesus' commandments. John 14:15, the New Testament law, Matthew through Revelation. Many instructions in the New Testament. We got to do it all. That's our goal. And when we fail, we're going to be disappointed in ourselves and we're going to repent. Noah, in a sense, was successful at keeping all God's commandments. Genesis 6:22 says this, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he." He was successful. This is not talking about his whole life. This is talking about the myriad of instructions that God gave him about building the ark. Probably dozens of them. Building the ark. The dimensions, how to do it, what to build it out of, all the instructions about the animals taking on the ark. It says Noah did everything. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Noah did it all. He obeyed all of those instructions. And if he can be successful at it, so can we. Don't have any kind of excuse like, "Well, I can't do it." You try to obey all of them. And when you fail, repent to get forgiveness. Don't have any kind of excuse that says, well, look, you know, well, everybody sins. Well, that may be true, everybody sins, but that just means everybody needs to do better. It doesn't mean, well, everybody sins, therefore it's okay for me to sin. That's not what God says. Psalms 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that doeth righteousness at all times. You see, we have a number of passages that say, do all that he commands. This says, do righteousness at all times. Even if you were to live perfectly Sunday through Friday, that doesn't mean you can take Saturday night off and disobey God. That won't work. I mean, can I, just because I live perfectly Sunday through Friday, can I go out and commit adultery against my wife on Saturday? How would that fly with God? It wouldn't. How would it fly with my wife? It wouldn't. We're supposed to do righteousness at all times, no vacations, all times, 24/7, 365 days a year. Deuteronomy 5:29 puts both of those concepts together. Do all that he's commanded at all times. Here's Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Keep all God's commandments always. All of his commandments. Always would mean at all times until the day we die. And it talks about having the right kind of heart. Oh, that there were such a heart in them. It's going to have to take a good heart to be successful, to even come close to being successful at keeping all of God's commandments at all times. Always. You know, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, they were successful at this. Here's Luke 1, 5 and 6. Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. If they can do it, we can too. When we fail, we need to repent, get forgiveness. If we don't repent, we won't get forgiveness. You don't earn your forgiveness by repenting. Fact is, if you don't repent, you won't be forgiven. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, Mark 16:16 puts these two things together, trust and obey. The first part of that verse is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You see how it takes both trust and obedience? Believe and be baptized. In John 8, Jesus has a conversation with a woman caught in adultery. And the last thing he tells her, at the end of the conversation, he says in 8, verse 11, Jesus said, go and sin no more. I'm thinking if we were to have a conversation with Jesus face to face today, probably the last thing he would tell us is, Pat, go and sin no more. That's what we should do. Go and sin no more. We have all these passages teaching you have to obey Jesus to be saved. Yet we have so many preachers out there saying, all you got to do is believe in Jesus. You don't have to obey. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. No, you not only got to accept him as your personal Savior, you have to obey him as your personal Savior. Isn't that what we've learned? Question, can we go to heaven if we aren't living in obedience to God? Of course not. You have to not only believe in him, you have to obey. Remember what the Bill Foster Baptist preacher said? He said, if I, as a believer, meaning he believes, you know, he's been saved. He says, if I killed my wife and mother and debauched 1,000 women, I couldn't go to the bad place. In fact, I couldn't go to the bad place if I wanted to. Well, that we've proven that false with at least a dozen verses. He kills his wife and mother and debauches 1,000 women. He's going to be lost. He's going to be lost. Doesn't matter if he's saved or not, been saved as a Christian before. Once saved, always saved is false. Maybe we can talk about that some more next week or the week after that. And then, of course, we read from the Methodist Creed book, wherefore that we are justified by faith only is the most wholesome doctrine, very full of comfort. Clearly teaching justification by faith is by faith only. But James 2:24 says, by works a man is justified, not by faith only. They're wrong. It takes trust and obedience to be saved by the death of Christ. Don't forget about my website, BibleCrossfire.com. You can go there and ask me an email question, listen to old programs, Love to hear from you. BibleCrossfire.com. If you'd like a free 1 hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753.